Well, today's Friday. We made it to another Friday. April is progressing rapidly, which it should not do. Should not be allowed to do that.
And painfully.
Extra painfully. I don't know. It's just April. Big news. ASRock is entering the video card business. So they've teased a few things here and there, and there were some leaks. I don't think we mentioned much about the leaks, but yeah, they're doing RX 580, RX 570 graphics cards. They've got an official website actually at ASRock.com. You can see some more information. They've got several cards in the AMD GPU lineup. So if you want to vote with your wallet about the whole NVIDIA GPP thing, there you go.
But I wonder if sphincters are puckering at ASRock as they see, just as they announce their GPU lineup, cryptocurrencies are crashing.
There was one report that said that ASRock was entering the GPU market strictly for mining purposes. But then I think I saw something from ASRock, the ASRock press people, saying, no, that's silly. That's not why we're doing it.
Nah,
well, so it is easy to imagine that perhaps AMD is sort of greasing some wheels here in the face of something like GPP. It seems like it would be easy for AMD to go to their investors and say, look, GPP is a real threat to us. You're going to have to give us a bunch of money so we can deal with this, because the only option here is to spend our way out of this situation.
But if cryptocurrencies crash and there's a massive sell-off in the GPU area, that's going to be a tough time to start selling brand new cards.
Yeah, it is maybe not the best time, but time will tell. We'll see how that goes. Also, in hardware news, this is sort of a side story, so this is an unusual story for us to cover because it's not something we cover really quickly, but this is a really good Ars Technica article. Everything a VR studio has to do to port to the Mac. So up until the iMac Pro, I would say that pretty much everybody has mocked Apple's desktop computing platform for playing games, because how do you expect to play games on a potato?
Yeah. Even now, though, they're very optimistic in this article, but if you think about the cost of those Macs that you can't play games on.
$5,000.
Is that really going to bring in a lot of new gamers? I guess it's good if you're one of those people that owns it, but I don't see a lot of crossover here.
Apple's first steps into VR. So, you know, the new iMac Pros, they've got the Vega. They've got the Vega GPU, and so that's part of it. But a lot of critics of Apple as a gaming platform, me included, said, well, even if you had a good GPU for Apple, it doesn't have like the driver architecture and the software stack to be able to support that. I mean, one of the reasons that Windows is still doing pretty well on the gaming side of things, even though, you know, Linux is a thing, is you've got really good unified support on the platform, on the operating system, for dealing with 3D acceleration. You've got DirectX, you know, Vulkan is getting better, OpenGL is getting better. But on Linux, we've got this sort of mess between, you know, Xorg and Wayland. And it doesn't seem to be the case on the Mac platform. And so these developers talk about their challenges getting VR up and running on the Mac. And it was surprisingly not as much of a headache, which is one of the reasons I wanted to mention this story. Because it seems like if this relatively small outfit can do this fairly easily, that's kind of encouraging. Not for the Mac platform, but
I think the bigger question is, bringing Mac people into the gaming world, is that going to increase or decrease the toxicity? And I say it's going to multiply it.
I thought you were going to say, is it going to increase or decrease the market share for Linux? Will this supplant Linux as a gaming destination? Will people be doing gaming on Macs on their Hackintoshes?
That's two entirely different groups of people.
There's probably some overlap, but yeah, I can't imagine anybody that's, I mean, who would shell out $5,000 for them?
Although I think those people would fit right in on the airplane in PUBG.
Baidu, the Chinese search giant, Chinese intelligent machines giant, as they've become, have showed off its Pocket Instant Universal Translator. And so there's a video for this. It was pretty good. One of the people using it apparently didn't speak very good Mandarin, so that part didn't work so well. But otherwise, it worked pretty good.
He was the English speaker.
Oh, okay.
So he was trying to struggle through, and it was so bad. It's not a magic wand. You need to be a fluent speaker for it to work. But this is really cool because it did a really good job. he conducted the interview through this little thing, and it was pretty impressive. Unfortunately, you can't buy one. You can only lease one from them, and only travel agencies and places like that are getting offered airports, but someday, I guess someday we'll be able to have it.
Neat. In Science News, the BBC has an article here from Microsoft. Microsoft is making a big gamble on quantum computing. So they've made a joke here, a quantum leap in computing. Doesn't seem like news until you realize that it's Microsoft in conjunction with the Niels Bohr Institute. And so they're confident that they have found a better way to create more stable qubits for quantum computers.
They're using a unique kind of particle. It starts with an M. I can't remember what the name of it is, but there is no proof that this will work at all. You know, it's all theoretical, and they're thinking, hey, we're going to use this new particle and it's going to solve all the problems of the unpredictability and the instability, but no one's for sure. They do use the extreme cooling as this. It's still that method of quantum computing.
To recycle your joke from the previous programs, like, you think they're doing Mountain Dew and Doritos with the extreme cooling?
Extreme cooling. They have to stop and play a round of Call of Duty after every execution.
Mountain Dew is the only substance in the universe that can be cooled below absolute zero.
But if it is true, it does seem like this will be a huge leap over the competitors. Now, we've done recent stories with Google and IBM sort of, you know, hopping over each other, leapfrogging each other with the qubit race. And if this works, Microsoft claims that they are going to immediately take the lead.
Yeah, a harsh read of this is that Microsoft is so far behind in the quantum computing industry, they need a Hail Mary like this to have any hope of competing.
Yeah, this is this is definitely a fourth down attempt.
But the you know, the people at the Niels Bohr Institute, those are smart guys. So if they say that it should work theoretically, they may be onto something. So we'll see what happens. Also, really big news this week, the AV1 codec. You're going to be hearing a lot more about the AV1 codec. It has been released. And so you can get higher fidelity video bandwidth in less bandwidth. And this is a completely open, royalty-free codec, which is huge for the industry.
I'm sure a lot of people are upset about that.
The MPEG consortium is dispatching assassins as we speak. I think the working group for MPEG wasn't expecting their next protocol until 2020. Like, they're working on it, like, whatever the next generation is. And if this is crazy, like, if this is not really clicking with you guys, think about, like, H.264 or H.265. H.264 is, you know, MPEG 4. It's what led about the, you know, video online revolution. You may remember MPEG 2, which came before that, which was pretty decent compression, which is MPEG 2, a version of that is what's on DVDs, old school DVDs. So this is, and H.265 is half the bandwidth of H.264. This is even a little bit better than that, and a little bit more high fidelity.
This is just what the FCC was waiting for to say, you know, you don't need more bandwidth. You can watch Netflix with this new codec, and you don't. This is perfect, right?
So here's the average weighted signal to noise, you know, BD rate delta of AV1 versus HEVC. So 43% at 2160p, 17%, you know, average of all. So I don't know. It's exciting times. Just be on the lookout. You're going to see more of AV1. Now, the problem with AV1 is that a lot of people have hardware that have H.264 and now even H.265 hardware acceleration built in. Most people's phones even have H.264 hardware acceleration. That means low battery usage. That's not the case yet with AV1 because it was just made. But soon, .. So, in a follow-up to our stories from the last couple of weeks, Uber has immediately pretty much settled with the family of a woman killed by their self-driving car. This is the one that we reported on where the one was in the median and sort of stepped out in front of the car. And the police chief, I think, concluded that there was nothing criminal there. But, of course, there can still be civil suits from the family of the deceased.
I don't think that was an official ruling. I think it was just like a preliminary, like, I don't see a problem here. But, yeah, I think for them, a large sum of money is worth this just going away.
And apparently a non-disclosure agreement, because they won't talk to anybody.
Yeah, you don't. You want
that's
this,
how you do it, folks.
You want this out of the new pro criminal tip. if your self-driving car kills somebody, you want that out of the news as soon as possible. You don't want a long court battle bringing this back up to the public over and over.
All that evidence enters the public record. There's discovery.
And somebody has to pull apart your car and look at what's actually running it, the trade secrets. Yeah, this was smart.
Tempe, Arizona Police Chief Sylvia Moir said that Herzberg came from the shadows right into the roadway. But other videos of the state of the crash suggest that Herzberg would have been clearly visible to a human driver and or visible to the LIDAR and other systems on a self-driving car.
But I think if a human was involved here, there would be no argument of fault. Because you can't be expected to react to somebody doing something that stupid. I mean, if someone throws themselves in front of your car, what can you do?
Yeah.
So there could still be the civil case in that, because, you know, anybody can sue anybody for any reason in this country. Do we hold self-driving?
It's the Boiler Snake.
You thought you'd never hear the Boiler Snake. He hates Uber. And he really, you know, he hoped this destroyed them. So when he found out about the settlement, he was, well, you can hear. But, I think a smart thing to do. And we didn't really get our answers in terms of who's responsible when a self-driving car kills somebody.
No, it's who is responsible. I think we've got a story coming up about when it's legal or not to lie to a robot. And so, you know, that's even... do you think that we'll see lawsuits in the future where... You remember the sticker that you put next to a banana and it totally freaked the AI out and it stopped seeing the banana? Like, what happens when people have clothes like that and they run out in front of self-driving cars to get the insurance money?
In the modern political climate, they'll go after the sticker manufacturers.
Or the pants manufacturers. Yeah. You get the double whammy. We can get Uber and the pants manufacturers in one go.
Man, the Boiler Snake, he does not like Uber. I mean, usually he's not this rambunctious. But, you know, it's late in the season and he's about to hibernate. And
hibernate for the summer.
He really does not like Uber.
I think also Uber has pulled all of its self-driving cars, but the governor of Arizona has formally requested that Uber not trial any more self-driving cars in Arizona as well as a result of this.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions about whether or not the Waymo lawsuit caused Uber to pull some of that technology, and the most of that was safety related. Mm. So if that turns out to be true, then you're talking about a negligence thing, because you built a good product and you started using it and then you lost a lawsuit, so you just yanked all the safety out of it to keep from paying.
That is an interesting perspective. I mean, what if some of the technology stolen from Waymo is safety related, as you say? Then all of a sudden that civil lawsuit, I mean, that could be in the tens of millions or even hundreds of millions of dollars, because those technologies maybe could have prevented it.
Yeah, and you can't make the argument that we didn't know, because you built your original product because you knew.
It is demonstrable that you knew, in fact. So self-driving cars can do no wrong, right? Well, maybe. The self-driving Chevy Bolt EV test car gets a ticket for not yielding to a pedestrian, but GM plans to protest this. So this should be really interesting when this comes up to court.
So there was a pedestrian in a crosswalk situation 10 feet away from the crosswalk. Now, I see somebody 10 feet away from a crosswalk, I'm probably going to go ahead, you know, because I'm traveling at a pretty good clip and they're not. It seems safe. But the cop who witnessed this did not feel the same way and issued a ticket to the Volt.
So all of this is going to be on video. It's going to be really interesting to see how that comes up in traffic court. They are challenging it, of course.
I wonder, in this situation, did that cop see that? And I was like, oh, I'm going to be the guy to... I don't know if there was a person in the passenger seat, though, so he might not have known.
He's like, here's my time to shine.
Yeah, really.
And he's going to get to court, and it's going to be like, what are you doing? That person might have even not headed to the crosswalk. They might have turned the corner.
Yeah. This could become... Now, if you start doing stuff like this, here's my fear. These kinds of things are going to cause the self-driving companies to just be terrified of all these lawsuits. And they're going to make these self-driving cars drive like 90-year-old little old ladies. And it's going to slow everything down, and it's going to be infuriating for the rest of us.
30 miles an hour, no matter what the speed limit is.
Yeah, right. And if it gets, if it sees a leaf blowing across the road, it just locks up the brakes.
Wow, that would be amazing. You get into a situation where only the self-driving cars can react quickly enough. And if you're not in a self-driving car, you're immediately going to rear end the car.
You got to give them like 20 car lengths of following distance. Yeah, that would be a nightmarish future.
I mean, how crazy would it be if, like, some of the future Teslas, as a safety mechanism, have, like, a reinforced steel bolt that they fire into the ground to bring them to a stop more suddenly? Because it's like, oh, we got to avoid a collision. Brakes aren't good enough. Let's just deploy the anchor.
You know, it's interesting. We didn't talk about it, but in the collision, the Tesla death story, they talked about how your Tesla in autopilot has a configurable setting of how close you want to follow the car in front of you. And that guy had his set to the minimum. So that's interesting.
That's not a good idea because you can't react quickly enough. Well, Google has ordered a fleet of 20,000 driverless Jaguars, or Jaguar if you're in the UK. Is that how you pronounce it?
No, Jaguar? That's wrong.
So Google's outfitting these with their stuff or what?
Yeah. They say it's similar to a Chevy Bolt. I got to think it's more expensive.
Because it's a Jaguar?
If you want to self-ride in style. I wonder, when you're not operating a vehicle, will high-priced vehicles like that still matter as much to people in terms of status? Because is there that disconnect where I'm not the one doing the driving? Do I care if it's a Mercedes?
I wonder if, like, I'm imagining me in the future, and it's like a cardboard box with wheels would be fine as long as I can strap on my VR helmet and just, you know.
Yeah. But some people might think, you know, they still want to be seen in a really flashy car. So, to me, a nice car is all about the performance of the car. And when it's driving itself, who cares?
Well, I can spot one problem they're going to have with this rollout. According to the article, production will begin in 2 years, and Jaguar expects to build the first 20,000 cars by 2022. The initial rollout is going to take place in Phoenix. So they're going to have to make up with the governor of Arizona before that happens because of the last story.
Maybe they could take Uber's spot. I suppose higher-end cars will have better crash test ratings usually, and they have better collision and stuff like that. But when you're hitting civilians, on you know, just people, pedestrians, then I'm not sure. Also, I don't know if you guys can hear that, but the Bullish Mic's making an entirely new sound right now. Again, self-driving cars in general, hates them.
It's going to take, the AI is going to take its job.
That's the sound of a boiler snake seething with anger, if you can hear that, that low hiss.
Switching gears a little bit. Lockheed Martin now has a patent for a potentially world-changing fusion reactor. So Lockheed has patented a fusion reactor. And so this is really exciting. They don't expect to have it done for a few years.
No, they submitted a 5-year plan in 2013.
Yeah.
So who knows if they're on schedule, which, I mean, how often do you think the plans for nuclear reactors get done on schedule?
Never.
0% of the time.
0% of the time, yeah.
But it could be cool. And this thing, it's the... So fusion reactors, the problem has always been, how do you contain the fusion? Because if you can't contain the fusion, that's real bad.
Yeah.
So what they usually use magnetics to do that. And this one has this novel design where the bigger the reaction gets, the more the magnetic containment pushes against it. So they believe that that's going to be the answer for putting it in aircraft carriers and maybe even with some miniaturization in jets.
Wow. A fusion powered jet. That doesn't seem dangerous at all.
You only fly those over the enemy.
It brings a whole new meaning to kamikaze, too. I mean,
Well, according to them, there's almost no chance, as long as this magnetic field is operating, for any sort of catastrophe like that.
It's also the case that I think that they're going to have this operational. It was supposed to be 5 years from 2014, so that would be like 2019. So we might be only a year or two away.
If they're on schedule.
If they're on schedule.
Now, the other cool thing about this is you can't really weaponize the byproducts of this. It uses tritium and deuterium. Is that what the other one's
deuterium.
Called? Deuterium.
Maybe. And that's from Star Trek. That might be.
But tritium you get from a byproduct of, what's the battery stuff? I can't believe I can't think of that word.
Sulfuric acid?
No. The
hydrochloric acid?
No, the good kinds of batteries.
Alkaline?
They'll tell us in the comments.
They'll tell us in the comments.
No, like in a cell phone.
Lithium ion?
Lithium. And the D one? I don't remember what that one is. We should have researched this more.
We're going to say deuterium because Star Trek.
It comes from seawater. So we actually have a supply of this stuff. If this works, the fuel is not going to be a big deal. And you can't make a nuke out of it afterwards.
Neat. We need that. We need it really bad. I have to admit, I'm a little bit worried about Lockheed having this because Lockheed might be a part of that the war industrial complex.
Here's the thing. Here's the scary thing. They Lockheed is like the heart of the military industrial complex. Like they're really inside. And the military industrial complex feeds on the oil conflict. But this would immediately disrupt all of the energy companies. So
what you're saying is that this patent, somebody, like someday in about 50 years, a teenager is going to 3D print the stuff from this patent and have a basement fusion reactor after this has been deemed not like a dead end.
Or I think, though, if you really want to go down that rabbit hole, the worst possible thing is they build a bad one and just blow it up somewhere. And it's like, oh, the world can never make this risk again. Get back in those oil fields.
Oil is the best way. All right, so this is one of the more exciting stories that we have covered in a while. Is tricking a robot hacking under the law and just... What constitutes tricking a robot, first of all, and what would constitute tricking a robot for malicious purposes, and does that fall afoul of computer misuse or hacking or anything like that?
Well, I bet in a court, if it came up to a judge making a decision, I bet they would rule that purposely circumventing a CAPTCHA would in fact be illegal.
Yeah, I think that has actually come up before, and it has been ruled an abuse or, you know, like a trespass into the system.
And then could you not try to use that as case law in the next step up, and that could just go on and on and on? It's a terrifying world. This is kind of, here's an analogy, and this is a bit of a stretch, but harming a police dog is the same charge as harming a police officer. So what if lying to a police bot becomes the same as lying to a judge?
So what you're saying is we're going to have border bots that are part of the new extreme vetting, and you go in there and it's like, look, I just didn't want to give the bot my social media. I'm not actually a terrorist. And it's like, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I could totally see that. And that would be a great loophole, similar to substitute bills, where they just don't bother to fix the laws and let it be that way. And then a bunch of people get caught up in that.
Yeah, it is. It's fun to think about. It's fun to think about all the stories that we've covered in terms of manipulating machine learning algorithms. You know, like the manipulating an image recognition algorithm, or with self-driving cars. Well, the stop signs. Like people were manipulating stop signs, making the self-driving cars think there was a stop sign where there wasn't, or making them think that a defaced stop sign is not in fact a stop sign. And so to a human driver, unless the human driver is specifically looking for those things, a human driver might not immediately recognize why their AI driver companion is not recognizing a stop sign or is recognizing some random thing as a stop sign, because it might not be immediately obvious to the human driver what's going on.
I guarantee you, if self-driving cars become ubiquitous and everybody's got them, I guarantee you somebody's going to come up with some kind of thing that makes their self-driving car go faster. Because think about how
dangle a carrot in front of the self-driving car.
I don't know why. I don't know how you do it. You know, maybe you somehow get it to interpret the speed limit signs wrong or something. Although I'm sure like there'd be GPS type data for that kind of thing. Whatever you've got to do, somebody's going to do it, and because they just want to get where they're going faster.
Remember in Futurama, like one of my favorite inventions from Professor Farnsworth was when you stick your finger in the box, it tells you exactly how long you're going to live. Well, Wonder no more. AI has brought us that. This AI predicts your lifespan using activity tracking apps. So you run this on your phone, and based on how much your phone moves around, it tells you when you're going to die.
Well, I think it can use like Fitbit and stuff like that too. To give you even better data. So it's based on your activity level and how much you're sleeping, because you know the phone can tell when you're completely still in bed and stuff like that. It can't take things like diet into account, stress levels or stuff like that. But it turns out, even without that stuff, it's doing a pretty good job of predicting.
That's not got me morbidly curious at all.
Here's the thing that comes from that. So you combine this with your Fitbit and your health data that they're scraping from Google, and your insurance company starts to get this. How terrifying is that?
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
They're going to be uninsuring a lot of people really quickly.
Instead of pre-existing condition, it's going to be predicted condition.
Oh, what a dystopian future. It's amazing. There is a guy that wrote a plugin. It took all of 3 hours to code a plugin that makes news comments more civil. What he did was he wrote a plugin that won't let you comment on the story until you prove that you've read it.
I saw a great statistic. I can't remember what the numbers are, but you know how a lot of news stories, I've noticed when I was just reading these today, like 7-8 stories had it. Continue reading story button. Like, you know, it shows you like 2 paragraphs and you click a button and it rolls down and shows you the rest of it. The reason they do that is to see if anybody's really reading the whole story. And they tracked commenters versus people who clicked to read the whole story. There were always more commenters than there were people who read the whole story.
Yeah. From just anecdotally for us, sometimes when we've done a video that has been shared outside of our regular community, there have been a lot more comments, but a lot of the comments, it was clear that they did not watch the video.
Oh, they'll make a point that we explicitly talk about 30 seconds after. People really do pause the video. And I can sort of understand it's a long news program. There's a lot of different things. You just got to get your word in on whatever it is. But they don't even listen to the whole portion. It's just like, I have something to add. I must add it.
Edit. Okay. Yeah, you said that. Cool. Thanks.
In this same vein, my favorite forum registration CAPTCHA type thing was there. And it was just like a drag and drop. And it was a big sentence. And you had to
track it in there.
Oh, man.
So you had to get it grammatically correct.
And you couldn't participate if you got that wrong. That's the greatest thing ever.
You can read all the posts and you can like stuff, but you can't comment until you prove that you can write. Sorry, people. English is a second language. We don't mean to be mean.
But you should learn that.
It is a tempting thing to have. It's like to do a plug-in like that, because we could totally do that on the forum and that would be a lot of fun. We should have done that for April Fools, really.
But ask questions that are totally unrelated to whatever the topic at hand is.
Yeah.
It's all My Little Pony trivia.
Yeah. Well, now for the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've had a lot of really interesting stories out of China about censorship, because they changed some political rules and their president can now be a president for life instead of a president for 2 terms. And some people were making fun of him because he kind of looks like Pooh Bear from the Winnie the Pooh children's series or whatever.
Oh, you know what story we forgot? Man, I really meant to add this one. Let's cover it. We don't have it in the list. But Kim Jong-un traveled to China. In order to
I saw that.
In order to have a meeting with the Chinese president. And like you say, any little thing, they'll censor it. And so they didn't want people talking about Kim Jong-un for whatever reason. So they immediately began to censor Kim Jong-un, if you mention that, or Kim Jong, from all of their stuff. So similar to this story, the Chinese people, you know, they're very pragmatic. They came up with a nickname to get around it.
I love the nickname. It's amazing. It's like little fat man on a train or something.
Fatty on the train.
Yeah.
Because it took a train to get there.
Well, it seems like we could get a title for this episode of the news out of that. It's like the fatty on the train watches the news. Mm. No, I don't know. It's fine. Similar to that, feminists in China are using emoji to avoid censorship. So it's the emoji a bowl of rice and emoji for a bunny. And it's like, at the close of this year's Women's Day, China Twitter like services, you know, why, blah, blah, blah. Basically, me and it, they censored me too, but the way that you pronounce the characters for Rice and the Bunny sounds kind of like Me Too. It's M-I and T-U, so Me Too, the China. It makes more sense if you read it. Explaining it out loud is harder.
Yeah, basically, they just say it's, this is the whole, like, you know, rape. I've already forgotten the director's name. Weinstein, Harvey Weinstein. And the big Me Too movement saying I, too, was sexually assaulted. And apparently, in China, they don't want you talking about being sexually assaulted, which is really dystopian.
Yeah.
And they also mentioned that this is not the first time they've used emoji characters to get around it. Because they also did, like, the anti-communist party one. I can't remember what the words were, but it was a really bizarre combination of things too. Again, it makes no sense to an English speaker, but when you put the Chinese characters together, it sounds like something in English or something else.
Yeah. And to completely close the loop, the hashtag Rice Bunny, you know, started trending because people were talking about it in that context. And so it would be hard to keep up with if you were an outsider. Like, if you weren't experiencing the censorship, it would be hard, one, to point to censorship happening in the first place, but two, to just know what the heck was going on. But in a way, this kind of stuff coming out of, like, having the, you know, Rice Bunny type stuff come out signals that, yes, there is actually something going on with censorship there, because we'll always get at least a few comments that say, no, this is not what this is, or this is not really censorship, or this is not really, like, control of the platform, and no messages, instant messages that mention, you know, Kim Jong don't just randomly disappear. But that you have so many people that understand what hashtag Rice Bunny means coming out of it, it's got to be a little disturbing from a Western point of view.
Yeah. I suppose we should keep our minds open in terms of, well, we saw the Qualcomm, Broadcom thing, and the what's the, I can't pronounce the phone manufacturer,
Huawei.
Huawei. There could be some high-level American propaganda, some anti-China propaganda. We are sort of getting into that, you know, trade war, Cold War thing with
stupid
China.
Stupid trade wars.
Yeah, but at the same time, it definitely seems like the chilling effect in China, there's something to it.
Yeah. My favorite part of this was another example she points to is the use of memes like the grass mud horse, a fictional creature resembling an alpaca that has become a symbolic mascot of the defiance against government censorship.
Yeah, because it sounds like F your mother, and the motherland is the communist thing.
Switching from nonsense to extreme nonsense, I can't believe this was still a thing. This story came up in my feed, and I was laughing about this for about 30 minutes. Lindsay Lohan has lost her GTA 5 privacy appeal case. And you may be thinking, what does Lindsay Lohan have to do with GTA 5?
This could also, an alternate title for the story is, this is the last time you will ever hear the name Lindsay Lohan in the media.
So this has apparently been going on since 2013. And Lindsay Lohan felt that the singer, country star, character, whatever, was like the story in the game was just a little too close to her in reality.
It's funny because, you know, all the characters in GTA are just horrible. The worst people, you know, they're all on drugs and violent. And
it's like, no, this really happened to me. You're selling my story.
And she took a look at that and was like, hey, that's me. It turns out she wasn't the only one. Karen Gravano, is that Sammy the Bull Gravano's daughter? Is she one of those mob? I didn't put that together when I first read that. Anyway, I can see where she would get the idea that she's part, because it's about a crime syndicate, you know, and but in both cases, judges have said, no, this is just a generic, horrible,
generic, horrible person.
It's a horrible, like, pop celebrity. You cannot say that. And even then, I would think the parody laws would be protect there.
You know, well, like, you know, having played the game and having experienced that character, thinking about, you know, the new adventures of Lindsay Lohan in the context of that game, is like, I would have never made the connection. I never, just beyond the generic sense. I mean, I guess in a sort of a generic, sort of vapid sense, maybe. But not, it would have been very non-specific. And now, as a result of this lawsuit and this story, every time I play GTA 5, it's going to be like, wow, does she really experience that? Or does she really conduct herself that way? Because, my goodness.
So I want you to do a mod to make it look more like her.
It's just, you have to have played GTA 5 and just, it's, that's just so amusing. It's just really, really funny. And finally, our last story. This is something that you added. It doesn't really have anything to do with technology, but well, it's 11 on the nonsense
scale. It does, because this is like another YouTube. Well, first we had, of course, the Tide Pod Challenge. And, you know, I never get tired of looking at the Tide Pods and think, human beings are eating those. Like, that's where we are in the 21st century. And then we talked about...
And their videos are trending better than ours.
Oh, yeah, way better. And then we talked about the hot coil challenge, which was putting your arm on a stove. I don't think that ever picked up. And people didn't really buy into that. One guy did it. He got a lot of views, but it didn't catch on.
There's kind of a spectrum here, because I think it really starts with the ice bucket challenge. And then like whoever came up with that is like, all right, cool. We can get away with that.
But that
Let's see if they'll eat soap.
But the ice bucket challenge, that was for like a medical charity or something.
Well, right? I mean, that was just subterfuge to see what they could get away with. What if it was the hot coil challenge for burn research?
You think the Tide people have been behind all of this?
Maybe. I mean, there's got to be some ad agency mogul that's behind all of this that's just like, yes.
So this is the latest challenge. And now we realize that it's April Fool's. The story came out on April 1st. Now, but here's the thing. I can't guarantee you this is not, just because it is very hard to believe. But I did see this earlier in the week, because I actually sent this to Krista, this link earlier in the week. Because I love, when I find something really like horrific on the internet, I love to send it to Krista, because she just, it affects her so much.
Rip her inbox.
So here we go. The newest challenge, the condom snorting challenge. And if you're wondering what is the... Did you read the article? You didn't have time to read this.
No, right? No.
What do you think the condom, like, describe the entire process of the condom snorting challenge.
I think that this is tickle your nasal cavity by inhaling a condom, but you keep it here so that you can always pull it all the way out.
Much worse than that. The condom goes in through the nose and then out through the mouth. Yeah. I think Steve-O did something like this with a noodle on Jackass.
Seems like a great way to get a sinus infection.
For sure. And, you know, most condoms are treated with the minoxidil 9 or whatever, the spermicide, and you're snorting that and eating it.
It seems like that would not be good for the mucous membranes of your...
Yeah. But I guess it remains to be seen. This is a Florida Palm Beach Post, but also KMPH, whatever that is, has reported on this.
Of course it's Florida. Of course
Florida
it's
man Florida. Snorts yeah. condom. But if you're a young person, you're trying to get started on YouTube, don't snort condoms. Don't snort anything on YouTube.
Somebody's going to find that. It's like you're going to go to apply to the Waffle House, and they're going to find that video, and they're just going to be like, no, I'm sorry, we can't hire you.
Or think about when all the countries start establishing the social media password, when you at the gate, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to go to Australia. And you land, and they're like, you snorted a condom? You go right back onto the plane.
I'm getting an idea for a new reality TV series. It's like a reality TV series where it's hidden camera, and it's like people are trying to get in, but their social media profile is filled with the most horribly offensive but actually legal stuff that you can possibly do. So when the border agent looks at it, it's just, you know, him reacting to your horrible social media profile.
That would be... I think what would happen is they would step up what's illegal quickly and dramatically rather than let that go on.
Well, you've wasted another perfectly good 39 minutes with us. I guess we'll see you next week. I don't know. Seems like I need a closer. There's no closer. I don't have a closer. Got anything? There wasn't really a lot of news this week, to be honest.
It was a kind of a weird week for news. It's Easter, but it won't be by the time you watch this.
Easter will be a distant memory.
We didn't do anything for April Fool's because we couldn't come up with anything good. I think it's better to just not do an April Fool's rather than have a half-assed April Fool's.
Yeah. And we may have inadvertently included some April Fool's news, which, if we did, will be a correction for next week. So you've got that to look forward to.
Or not, because we'll just say it was April Fool's, right? We can get away with anything this week.
And the background behind me is a reference to Monty Python's Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. So I couldn't find one that had a that had a subtle crucifix in the background, because I thought that would be
that
slightly offensive.
I'm looking for houses right now. Like I'm house shopping, and that looks like something that could come out of any generic live, laugh, love suburban home.
It's at the end of the movie, you know, when they're at the end of the life of Brian, like when they're all on the crosses and it's like, you know, look on the bright side, you know, it's a musical note. I don't know. It's Python humor. Okay. We're leaving now. We'll see you.